How the Super Bowl became America's most important event. Well, I don't know. Civil War is pretty big. Super Bowl is bigger, I guess. Justin Peters wrote for Slate Magazine. He went, actually, what he did was, the way to view the Super Bowl is to, he watched all 50 Super Bowls in 50 days. Well, we don't have the 50th one yet. That's coming up. But 50 in 50 days sounds better. He's joining us now from New York City. And how did you survive that, Justin?
Yeah, that's... It's something you got to do if your editor says we've got a terrible idea and we've got the person to do it. And the job involves sitting on my butt for a month and a half and watching football. I said, sure. I can think of worse ways to spend my time. It turned out there are very few worse ways to spend my time. It's a horrible, horrible test.
Are you, in fact, a football fan, Justin?
I'm not as much as I used to be.
Yeah. Now, after that, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, I felt like the kid whose father catches him smoking cigarettes and says, well, I'll teach you. You're going to smoke the entire pack. Watching one game is great. Watching 50 in 50 days is not so great.
Yeah, so it's more like smoking the entire carton, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I do have, I claim of fame here. I saw the first one. Back in 67.
Really?
Yeah, you saw it too there. Pretty good game there, except...
Well, you weren't one of the Jetpack guys, were you?
No, I wasn't there. I watched it on TV.
Oh, all right.
It was on Channel 12, as I recall, in Milwaukee. And that was a pretty good game, except we didn't know the Kansas City Chiefs, that was even a football team. Because they're from...
America wasn't quite sure that Kansas City was actually a city at that point. That was basically what... America was surprised. And they were like, well... This made-up city isn't very good at football, apparently. Makes sense. They left us off the game by a one.
Yeah. It wasn't called the Super Bowl, though, was it?
No, it's called the AFL-NFL Championship game. It wasn't until a few years later they came up with the Super Bowl.
Yeah. They had merged, though, at that point, right?
They had announced the merger. The merger didn't actually take place until 1970, but that was the whole idea behind the Super Bowl. The AFL started in 1916, and the NFL was like, good luck, guys. And then they had good luck. And then the NFL was like, well, we need to fix this. So they brought it together, and to commemorate the union, they said, let's hold a champions game. And the first game happened in 1967. The stadium was basically empty. There was 33,000 feet completely unsold in this Los Angeles Coliseum. 51 million people watched it, and then the rest basically supported
at the Coliseum. And there was, you know, there was a movie I saw in which that game was going on in the background. There was some heist going on that involved it was a rather ridiculous movie, but it was during that the first Super Bowl game.
Wait, did you say there was a heist movie where the first Super Bowl was going on in the background?
Yes.
Wow, that's. See, now that sounds more exciting than that game probably.
Yeah, because I understand, there aren't really, there isn't a complete extant film of the Super Bowl I, right?
No, there's apparently one guy who has it, and he's bolted onto a very tight lane. He won't let anybody see it. But you can sort of like get the gist of it through some clips and imagination.
Yeah, yeah. I know Boyd Dollar made a nice catch, is all I remember from it. Good old boy.
Boyd Dollar was out after like the first play. I feel really bad for Boyd Dollar. I gotta imagine he woke up that morning. He's like, "Yep, life's going great. I'm gonna be starting in the first championship game." And then I think he hurt his side on a kick return. And then Max McGee had to come in, and he's the one that got all the glory.
Maxie the Taxi McGee, ladies and gentlemen, one of the great names in pro football. Yes, Max McGee. Did you have to rank? Did you rank these games? I mean, were there any of them that really were outstanding? I mean, what do you think of the Super Bowl in general as an American epic moment?
Like, as a moment every year where we get together with friends and family to not hate the snow and the winter and, you know, have nachos and beer, it's great.
Yeah.
As a football game itself, it leaves a lot. Usually, the games are super boring. They're sloppy, and there's lots of turnovers, and it's like week 20 of the season, so all the players are tired. It's not usually great football. There's been some good games, but most of them, it's like, gosh, no one is walking away from this a football fan who wasn't already a football fan.
Okay. Are you getting some feedback on your end, or is that us doing that? We're going
to I'm hearing it over here, too.
Yeah. Are you in front of a speaker or something, or are we on the speaker?
No. I'm not on the speaker.
Okay.
No.
All right. I'm sorry about that. Did you actually rank the games then in terms of which ones were actually even watchable?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. One of my favorite games was Titans and Rams back in 2000, that with Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and them, the greatest show on turf, versus Steve McNair and Eddie George. That was just a great game that you might remember. It came down to, like, literally the last play where one of the Rams DBs tackled the Titans receiver right at the one-yard line.
Yeah.
And saved the touchdown and saved the game. That was a fantastic game.
Yeah. I don't remember because I've never watched one that the Packers weren't in.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What's a good one that the Packers
They weren't
were
in that one, as I recall.
No, they weren't. They tried to come in disguise, but they caught them. Packers Broncos from one of those years with Favre versus Elway was a super good game.
Yeah.
I think it was 97, 98 or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like John Elway's like 14th Super Bowl, and it was the first one he actually won. And Favre had a really great like drive. They came up just short in the last minute and a half of the game. Listen, there's been some good football games, but they've been far sort of outnumbered by the bad one. There's been a lot of really bad Super Bowls.
Yeah. Now, and then the other thing that's associated with them is not so much the games, but these ads, for some reason, have taken on a life of their own, commercials during the Super Bowl. First of all, how did that happen? Was there a particular game where they first launched unique or crazy commercials and it caught America's attention, or how did it begin?
It was really in, like, 1984 that the commercials started becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Before that, the first, like, 15, 20 years of the game, no one was really putting that much money or effort into making the commercials a sort of an attraction of their own. It was mostly just like car commercials, but with like more music at the end. And then Apple came around with their famous commercial titled 1984, where they sort of played on the dystopian imagery of George Orwell's novel to announce the coming of the Apple Macintosh computer. And it was a really well-filmed ad. It looked like it was a movie. And that was the sort of thing where people the next day were like, my gosh, like that commercial was better than the game. And the next year, other advertisers tried to sort of match that. And, now here we are where people honestly say, yeah, I just watched the game for the commercials.
Yeah, because the Packers aren't in it. That's the end of that song. But did you watch all these games with the commercials intact?
I watched most of them with the commercials intact.
Oh, God.
There's some of the broadcasts. I found these on online. True story. If anyone listening wants to try to replicate this feat, go to YouTube, and most of the broadcasts are on there. But a lot of them don't have the commercials attached. So the ones that did, I watched them. You can also find all of the sort of commercials online, so I tried to watch as many as I could.
Yeah. Would you nominate one for the worst commercial of all Super Bowl history?
Surprisingly, it was also Apple that did a commercial that I thought was the absolute worst. This was in 1999, right before the dreaded Y2K. You might remember, everyone was afraid, oh my gosh, year 2000 coming, computers can't sort of won't recognize that date. We're going to fall into the dark ages again.
Right.
And Apple ran this terrible fear-mongering ad using the computer from 2001, A Space Odyssey, which is basically like, ha ha ha, remember back in 2000 when humanity was ruined? It was all because you didn't buy Macintosh. If you bought Macintosh, humanity wouldn't have been destroyed. And I watched it and I'm like, my gosh, how did the same company that made this great ad 15 years ago make this absolutely horrible one?
Yeah.
It's laughably bad.
Different agency, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. The best? Would you say that Apple then was the best commercial as well, or do you have a different favorite?
Yeah,
commercial?
I mean, like, listen,
I like the frogs. The frogs. Frogs on. What was that for? A beer, right?
Oh Budweiser. Yeah, it was the Budweiser ad. Yeah, the talking frog.
Yeah, you know? Talking frogs. That stands out for some reason. For me.
Yeah, you that's got the talking frogs. You got whenever there's like polar bears like driving a car. That's always fun. Got to get those points.
Yeah.
But the Apple ad wasn't just like good. It was important, right? Because it sort of signified. This is now something that happened, that ad agencies put money and time into making these, like, little mini-movies, like, of their own.
Right. And then halftime, when did that become a deal? Like, the halftime was, like, you know, major event.
Halftime's always been corny, right? It's always been, you know, even from the start. But it was corny in a different way for the first, like, 15, 20 years. It was corny in the way that... like, if your mother was, like, programming, like, the Super Bowl halftime, like, she would pick, like, some, like, marching bands, and maybe she'd, you know, have people, like, release a lot of balloons, and, like, that was basically the Super Bowl halftime show. And then there's this one halftime in the early 90s where the Fox Network ran some counter programming at the halftime. They ran a special episode of In Living Color.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Super Bowl's halftime was basically just marching bands and balloons, like usual. And everyone switched over to Fox to watch In Living Color. And the next year, the NFL was like, well, that can't happen again. So we're going to hire Michael Jackson. And from then on, that was how the Super Bowl halftime show became this sort of star-studded thing, because they're just terrified of people changing the channel and going to something that has more stars.
Yeah, and then Fox, you know, doubled down on that by buying NFL football, you know, owning it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that happened too.
Is there, for your money, is there a worst halftime? Of course, Coldplay is still coming up, so I put that in the bidding for worst halftime, at least a halftime idea of any for any band in history this coming.
Well, there was. Do you remember when there was a magician at the halftime show one year?
No. Who was it?
Well, you probably walked out of your mind. I don't think the Packers were in that game. Maybe you didn't see it. But there was legitimately, like, they hired an Elvis impersonator who didn't actually sing any Elvis songs. Instead, he just did a card trick.
That I would
watch. It was called Elvis Presto.
Elvis Presto.
So you've got the hairstyle of Elvis and the magic word of a magician, and it just made no sense.
What? Who was playing in that one?
It was Elvis Presto.
What game was? Who was in? Who was in the Super Bowl?
Oh God, I remember. That was they all run together.
Oh, yeah, okay. Somebody was playing somebody. Okay, never mind.
Someone was playing somebody. Yeah.
What year was that? Did you say?
1989 or 1990? I want to.
Yeah. Elvis Presto sounds good. Magician. Just do one check?
Yeah,
one check?
Yeah, you know, four words that no one has ever said. Elvis Presto sounds good.
One trick and he was out?
Yeah, like, listen, like, I think there were 3D glasses involved, like, too. It was a very elaborate, like, halftime show. I sort of feel like someone's, like, four-year-old, like, daughter, like, woke up one morning and was like, there should be magic and Elvis and 3D glasses, and the guy was like, oh, thank God, you saved the halftime show.
Yeah.
And then they were totally wrong.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've had with the Janet Jackson thing, the famous wardrobe malfunction. That's memorable for that
but,
reason
like,
alone.
What people don't remember about that, that there was a streaker. That same year, right after the halftime show, there was this British guy who snuck onto the field.
Oh, that guy's famous.
As an official.
Yeah.
Took off his clothes, did a little dance, and just got destroyed by this Patriots linebacker who wasn't having it. But no one's taking off their clothes in my game. He just sort of laid them out.
Yeah. Did they actually first think that it was an official who had stripped down and just went crazy?
Theory.
Yeah. I wish it, they don't usually, like streakers and things, they don't usually put on camera, though, do they? I mean, that's sort of a...
No, but, like, so the people from American television did not air it, but luckily the people from Danish television were under no such So I found this tape of these Danish sort of, like, announcers. It's going crazy about this Streaker. You've never watched a football game Streaker until you've watched it narrated by Danish announcers who you can't understand what they're saying, but you can totally get like their excitement. And they were doing replays and stuff. It was amazing.
Yeah. Then you get to the whole like food thing, eating thing, and suddenly Super Bowl becomes about what you can eat, what you can make, how much you can eat during the game, which is quite a lot, actually, in the 4 or 5 hours you spend watching the thing. Is that a recent phenomenon as well? When did that all begin?
Been a part of it. I mean, you're going to invite people over to your house to watch a game. You got to feed them something, right? And you're going over to someone's house. You don't want to be rude. You got to bring something over. So, I mean, basically, as long as there have been people going over to other people's homes to watch television, yeah, there have been sort of dips and nachos and pigs in blankets.
Yeah.
And I guess that's sort of taken on a life of its own, too, as it's sort of become an expected thing, like everyone's going to come here and gorge themselves and feel bad about it in the morning. Like, that's sort of like the reward. Like, Monday morning you go to work, oh, I feel bad. Yeah, well, I feel worse. Oh, no, I feel worse than you guys. You should hear about what I ate. It's sort of like maybe he's just my friend, but, yeah, like, I definitely try to brag about, like, how much I overindulged on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, but they report how much is, like, the chicken wings thing, the billion chicken wings and so forth. So, actually, it makes the news now. How much was consumed in the Super Bowl?
News you can use.
Yeah. And, of course, if you don't care for the Super Bowl, there is the Otter Bowl going on. There are alternative bowls of various types. So my favorite is the Otter Bowl, which is taking the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach, California, on Sunday.
Do they make the otters play football? Or is
yeah,
it just
the, apparently
otters?
The otters are very good at football. It's a little-known fact. So if you're not into the Super Bowl, there are alternative bowls going on all over. And, of course, it is also ironic, the fact that nobody in San Francisco wants the Super Bowl to be there because, you know, San Francisco. And so they've been tearing down all the signs, all the promotions that they put up for the 50th. You know, all the signs are gone and trash them, and people rewrite the signs, you know. And so that's been kind of interesting.
It's sort of like the Olympics, right? No one wants that either. Every time an Olympics comes to a place, all the city fathers are like, hooray, and then the city residents are like, no, there's a lot of traffic, and I can't get around.
Yeah, but especially San Francisco, which is very...
That's the place.
You can imagine. Well, thank you very much, Justin. It's an interesting thing to do, and I hope you survive it.
Well, I'm still here.
Still got to watch the last one.
Call me on Monday if I'm doing that.
Still got to watch the last one on Sunday. Thanks, Justin. Justin Peters.
All right, Michael.
From Slate Magazine.